Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Tim Kirchen. Tim, first of all, it was really terrific to see you in Williamsport. Everybody loved having you there, and it was fun just to catch up with you for a couple of minutes.
Well, as you know, Steve, Williamsport is one of the great venues in this country. It's my favorite assignment every year. Carl Ravitch told me 8 years ago, he said, first time you go there, you won't even know what it's about, and you'll say, this is the greatest assignment. And 8 years later, he's still right about that. So I come back to Williamsport every off season and help out with the banquet because the people there are so great. I had so much fun, and boy, it was a great banquet this year. Kent DeColvey made me laugh out loud a bunch of times.
He did. He was tremendous. He really was. Great stories across the board. The Orioles are going to leave the Angelos realm, and they've been sold. This is a young team. What potentially does this mean to the future of the Orioles, especially with the young players they have now?
Yeah, I think this is great for the franchise because it was clear with the Angelos family in charge, because they said it publicly, that affording players long-term is not going to be easy. And when you have Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday and, you know, Adley Rutschman, you have to get these guys locked up as quickly as possible, which we're seeing all across the game. I mean, it started, you know, with the Indians in the 90s, but the Braves have brought it to an art form on how to take young guys and wrapping them up so the future is bright for years and years. That's what's going to happen since two billionaires are going to buy this team, get the whole team eventually. And if I was an Oriole fan, I would be thrilled that the right people are now in charge to eventually make sure that the best young talent doesn't get away.
And then there's another element too, because as part of the public negotiation, there was the dangling of the lease at Camden Yards. Baltimore is such an awesome sports town. I don't have to tell you that. I mean, what does this mean long-term future about Orioles baseball in Baltimore?
Well, fortunately, it means the Orioles aren't going anywhere, nor did I ever think they were going anywhere. But still, this is great comfort for Oriole fans to know that the team will be here for ever and ever, because it's a great baseball town. I grew up about 50 miles away from there, and the town has been reinvigorated by baseball and by the Orioles. You should have seen that. I'm sure you did, Steve. You should have seen that place in the heart of the pennant race last year. It was breathtaking to be there, and I covered their series at home against the Rangers on the radio with Carl Ravitch, and even though they lost two games there in Baltimore, the atmosphere in the ballpark was tremendous. And that's what everyone has to look forward to with this sale, with Cal Ripken on some level, we're not sure what, is going to be involved in this group. This is a great time to be a baseball fan in Baltimore.
And what do you think the addition of Corbin Burnes can mean on the mound?
Yeah, he's a... Steve, he's a number one starting pitcher, and you don't hear that very often anymore because there aren't many number ones left, because not only is his stuff unbelievably good, I mean, he throws a cutter at 97 miles an hour. So he has overpowering strikeout stuff, and yet a couple years ago, I'll be close on this, he went 40 strikeouts into the season before he walked anybody. Think
right
about that for a second.
Yeah.
That's how good he was. That's how good he is. And this was a big risk for the Orioles because Burnes is a free agent after the season. And they might not be able to re-sign him, but they're going for it now. And they went and got him with two good young players, Joey Ortiz and D.L. Hall, who are really going to help the Brewers. But they got a number one starting pitcher without really hurting the number, you know, top three or four prospects that they have. So I would be thrilled if I were an Oriole fan knowing they have a number one starter to go on top of Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, and all these other really good young arms.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think Juan Soto's in the same spot. I mean, Juan Soto ends up going to the Yankees. What impact can he have on that lineup, and what impact can he have defensively on that team?
Well, that was a really subpar offensive team last year, Steve.
Yes.
They had too many strikeouts. They relied too much on the home run. They didn't score any runs, and they were a weak offensive team last year with all that firepower. Now, it hurt, of course, that Aaron Judge was out for a good portion, but you know, this is a guy, Juan Soto, who will change the entire look and approach of their offense, because he's not up there, you know, only walking, striking out, and hitting home runs. He is a great hitter, arguably the best hitter in the game. He, you know, his career on base percentage is .420. The team's on base percentage last year was .307. He's going to make a difference every day in that lineup, and he played all 162 games last year. He'll be thrilled to be back in a pennant race, and as important as anything, he's in a contract year. So if he has a fabulous Juan Soto year, maybe the Yankees just bowl him over, or certainly somebody else will. So there's a lot to play for. I think the Yankees offense will be demonstrably better with Juan Soto hitting second or third, wherever they put him.
Give me your read on the A's situation with Las Vegas. Where is that right now? Where do they end up playing as this moves forward?
Well, this is a very confusing conversation for me, because it just appears that the A's are going to end up in Las Vegas long term. The owners have already approved it, and yet the Las Vegas mayor came out yesterday and said, you know, they need to go back and make another pitch to Oakland. Was not exactly what you were looking to hear, but it's going to be really complicated. As of now, they're going to play in the Coliseum, or whatever we call it these days, because they have one more year on the lease. Then they're going to probably be 3 years where we're not sure where the A's are going to play. So I find this very unfortunate. No Major League Baseball team should have to go through something like this. But this is what happens when, let's face it, the team was not run properly from above, and now they're in a predicament where they'll have a new home in theory, a great new home in Las Vegas, but how do they get there in one piece? It's going to be very, very tricky.
And what about the Rays situation in St. Petersburg? Because they're talking about 86 acres of redevelopment in the historic gas plant area for a $1.3 billion ballpark. Is that still on track?
It appears to be, but with that situation also, I'm not going to believe anything until, you know, shovels are in the ground and real progress is being made, because there have been so many false starts on this. I think the Rays are going to stay in Florida. I think they're going to stay in that area somewhere, but I'm just not positive of what it's going to look like 5 years from now. But the bottom line is this, Steve, as you know, Oakland needs a new stadium or a new city in which to play, and the Rays need the same thing. But it looks like they're staying, but the stadium is important, and there's still some hurdles to cross there.
Then what does that mean to the possibility of expansion, because these are still in gray areas?
Yeah, I'm in favor of expanding two more teams to have 16 in each league. However, there is no reason to expand until we're absolutely certain what's going to happen with the Rays and the A's. Bud Selig told me 15 years ago, if not longer, we have to figure out what to do with the Rays and the A's. And here it is 15 years later, and there's still confusion. So once they get those two teams completely settled, then I'm all in favor of expansion. But sorry, I don't think we should expand until we're positive that those teams are set.
And not only that, and also which markets might be available, because you don't know where they're going to end up moving to.
Right, precisely. We're not sure which markets will be out there. So still a lot of work to go on that.
Yeah, no question. Jose Altuve signed the 5-year deal with the Astros. Tim, I remember watching him in the New York Penn League with Tri-City. I was like, okay, he's a good player, you know. And then to see what he's become. Why is he, when you've watched him a lot, why is he as good as he is, considering you're not a big man of stature?
Right. Well, Alex Cora, who was an Astros coach years ago, told me, pound for pound, Jose Altuve is the strongest man in the major leagues. When you see him hit a ball over the train tracks and you recognize that he is an inch and a half taller than me, and for those who don't know me, I am really short, and he's an inch and a half taller than me, and he hits the ball over the train track. His teammate, Alex Bregman, looked at me during the postseason and said, Jose Altuve is the best athlete in the major leagues, and there is not a close second. He said he runs faster than anyone on our team. He jumps higher than anyone on our team. Pound for pound, he's stronger than anyone on our team. And it was just like an amazing scouting report of this guy. There's nothing he can't do. Now it appears he's going to be an Astro for life. And even though those who had trash cans and cheating and everything on their minds, Jose Altuve is going to be a Hall of Fame second baseman someday, and he's got an outside chance to get 3,000 hits. And I'm not sure I've enjoyed watching too many players more than I've enjoyed watching him. That's how dedicated he is to being great every day.
Well, this is the test he always passed with me. He's on deck against your team, and you're like, oh, we can't let that guy get up. To me, that's the ultimate right there. I can't let that guy come to the plate. I can't.
Right, and especially in the postseason, like as we gauge all great players, are they at their best when they need to be at their best in the biggest games? That pretty much defines Jose Altuve.
And I know that I have to let you go. There's a certain time frame, and because of that, I'm going to let you go now. Thanks so much, as always, Tim, for your time. It's just fabulous.
Well, thank you, Steve. Talk to you soon.
That's Tim Kirchen, ESPN.